Memory Palace. Memory Palace.
Right now, your brain's already tweaking what I just said. By the end, you might remember inventions and drop things you swore you'd keep. I'm Joe Hoster. Anyway, what I love here is that memory isn't a recording. It's a reconstruction that shifts each time we revisit it.
When a culture loses its memory, what is it to us? Just buildings and heirlooms, or something living that can bruise and heal?
That question's been stuck in my head. In my work, I'm always thinking about narrative as the brain's way of stitching experience together. But this goes deeper. I grew up on my grandmother's stories, an entire village and way of life that never made it into a textbook. They lived because she told them, and because I listened. That's where I first felt how fragile and fierce our mental archives are.
Same for me, except it's a smell. One holiday spice mix in my family, no recipe card, just hands remembering. The second it hits the pan, I'm standing beside people I've never even met. And if we stop cooking it, that thread snaps. I hate how real that feels.
I do. And it points to something active, not static. Memory as culture isn't a relic under glass. It's a practice. The telling is the mechanism. My grandmother wasn't lecturing. She was building a world. And by listening, I stepped inside. Each story carried a function, warning, moral, a quick start guide to how we do things here.
A kind of social map.
Exactly. A compact navigation system passed person to person. No literacy required, no tech, just a teller and a witness. In that exchange, an entire code base gets transmitted.
But some things won't sit still in words. I can list the spices. I can't hand you the feeling they unlock. That's stored differently, in bodies. The way you grip the pestle, the rhythm of a dance, how you tilt your head when greeting an elder. Anthropologists call it embodied memory, knowing that's performed, not recited.
That lands. It's the brain's show, don't tell. I start to say it's like writing for the senses. No, that's not right. It's the experience itself becoming the memory. No gap between description and doing.
Right. And that's where it gets brittle. You can save a song file or scan a prayer book. But if a master weaver doesn't teach an apprentice for one generation, the text remains while the pulse drains out. You're left with instructions and no breath.
The artifact persists. The lived memory unhooks. You keep the prayer book, but forget how to pray.
Exactly. It becomes a ghost limb. You can trace the outline, feel the absence, but it won't move. And that emptiness is dangerous.
Dangerous how? Concretely. I feel it, but spell it out. What happens inside a community when that gap opens?
A vacuum never stays empty. Lose your internal compass, your map, and you'll grab any map. The ones lying around tend to be easy stories, commercial cliches, or harsher ones that define you by naming an enemy.
So it's vulnerability, a weakened collective immune system, like an amnesiac character in a story. Untethered, suggestible, anyone can assign them a past. You're saying whole societies can end up in that posture.
Yes, and sometimes the replacement story isn't imported at all. It's a rigid echo of what was lost. That's when people clutch symbols and rituals without belittling context. The practice goes hard and narrow because underneath there's fear. It stops evolving and turns shell-like, and the shell gets defended at all costs.
That's chilling. So this isn't nostalgia. It's public health for the psyche.
Exactly. It's the difference between a green branch that bends and dead wood that snaps. Living memory lets a culture flex without breaking when the wind picks up.
Which drags in the big force, globalization. The internet can feel like it sands every distinct edge smooth. Are we just describing a sunset we can't stop? I used to think yes. Actually, I don't think I buy inevitability anymore.
I swing on it. Some days I watch languages vanish, entire worldviews blinking out, and I can't find the bright side.
An entire lens disappearing.
Then I see stubborn little miracles. Diaspora folks sharing recipes on group chats, teaching kids old songs on video calls, oral histories getting digitized. It's not the same as sitting at a grandmother's knee. Of course it isn't. But it keeps embers warm.
A digital lifeline. But can it carry the full weight? Can a YouTube weaving tutorial stand in for a master's hands guiding yours? Can it transmit that embodied knowing you named?
Not perfectly. Something gets lost in the hop. Maybe that's the wrong standard, though. Maybe the question is it enough to stop the numbness from setting in? To keep the outline from fading entirely?
Better than the void is a compelling bar. My gut says yes. Something beats nothing. Then the part of me that obsesses over authenticity balks. Is a pale echo still memory, or just a beautiful floor plan for a house already gone?
It hurts, because it's true. But maybe the floor plan isn't for us. Maybe it's for a future kid who decides to rebuild. The archive, the YouTube clip. They're not preservation. They're packets.
Seed is better than blueprint. Alive, latent, asking to be tended. So it isn't just save it, it's grow it.
Yes. We circle back to showing up. Tech can throw a rope across the river, but someone still has to grab it. Click the link, listen to the story, try the recipe, even if you scorch the first batch.
So, the real threat isn't only the vacuum, it's complacency. Believing a hard drive equals survival. Assuming the story's safe because it's on a server.
Exactly. That's false security. The real work is daily, sometimes boring, occasionally joyful. Ask elders questions. Teach the young. Attend the ceremony. Cook the meal. Honestly, I'm enjoying this conversation more than I expected. Just saying it out loud makes me want to call my aunt tonight.
And it shrinks the grand themes down to human scale. Yes, we can say history and global forces, but the front line is your kitchen table and that phone call. I can hear myself getting worked up, and I'm fine with that.
Same. We can't outsource this. Institutions help, algorithms help, but the core lives in our voices and our hands.
For me, it's this. Stories have to be told, not merely stored. Data becomes culture only in the space between teller and listener. Otherwise, it just sits there, inert bits.
And memory has to be done, not just described. I love the image of your grandmother teaching by weaving a world. I'd have helped her move apartments, no questions asked. Also, tiny relief, the coffee is helping.
Then here's my last nudge to both of us. The next time either of us is certain we remember something exactly, let's treat it as a reconstruction and check it against another mind. That plasticity is the feature, not the flaw.
I'm with you. Let's keep telling and doing.